back.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, she's back.
Y'all are stuck with me again.
You missed it last week. Bebe and I had a good time.
I know. I'm sorry I wasn't here for that. I was a little sick.
You still sound a little...
I sound weird, but it's just like, I'm not sick anymore. I just sound weird. I told my voice doesn't sound the same anymore.
No, it doesn't.
But I haven't been, like, actually sick in, like, 4 days. 5 days.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Where are we back to?
What do you mean, where are we
What are we doing here?
You know, that's a great question.
You're supposed to intro the show today.
I don't know. I don't know. I know the name of the show is Woods and Water, South Carolina, but I don't know what we do here.
And you are?
We talk.
You are?
Oh, I'm Taylor. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, Taylor.
This is like a therapy session.
No, it's not.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I'm Taylor.
Hope y'all are having a good weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We are 1 week out
from
the opening day of dove season.
Yay! I was a little disappointed, though, because I thought it was today. But I looked on my calendar, and it's not today.
It's always either the first Saturday or first Monday in September.
Yeah. At least it's a Saturday, though, because on Monday I'd be at school.
Oh, yeah. Senior year of high school. Wow. I'm getting to be an old man, folks.
Yeah, you are. You're a grandpa. You're literally a grandpa.
I am.
That's kind
of I had
funny.
4 hours of quality time with Lee the other day.
Quality time is in.
He slept the whole time.
Yeah.
It was great. I love it.
He sleeps anywhere. I don't know. His eyes were wide open the other day.
Oh, yeah. He's alert.
He was like looking around. And he made eye contact with me, and his eyes got really big. And I was like, what? Why are you looking at me like that?
Look at.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome. How's senior of high school?
Yeah.
Is here.
Yeah.
A lot quicker than you figured on it, didn't you?
It's littered with people everywhere asking me where I'm going to school next year, and I'm like, I don't know. Okay. I don't even know how I'm supposed to get through this school year. So
one day at a time.
When I get past the school year, then you can ask me. Maybe if you're lucky, Christmas break. But before that, not a good question to ask me right now. But so far it's going.
It's going, huh?
It's just
a shock to the system to go back to school, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Summertime living was easy. Lots of fishing going on. Lots of just hanging out. And
sleeping in.
Bang.
And now
here comes school.
Up at 7 o'clock every morning. And
well, it's just getting you ready for deer season.
No, because I get up a lot easier with deer season. If I'm going to be completely honest with you.
No, I expect you to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, there was a shirt I saw the other day.
Yes.
And it said, sorry I was late. It's not deer season, so I didn't feel the need to get up. And I need that shirt.
You need that shirt.
I will wear it to my classes.
Speaking of deer season.
Yes.
Game Zone 2. Youth Day, September the 11th. That's coming up week after next.
That's for us, yeah.
Oh, Taylor.
I know.
You're going to have to study all night long, a couple nights, to be able to go do all this stuff.
I know.
Oh, I boy.
Know. But see, I'm not fully in deer season in my head yet because...
You haven't been to Chester. You haven't
been
working.
I have been. I went to Chester with you the other day.
One time.
And excuse me for being busy and being a good student.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't gotten past dove season yet. And also, my stand is nowhere near ready.
It will be shortly. Trust me.
I really hope
Just trust me.
Because I can't shoot anything.
I moved mine.
I know
my
you
bow stand,
did.
Yeah.
We had a time with that.
That was fun. Got soaked.
Yeah.
A little cloud came out of nowhere. Next thing I know, it's just like pouring rain.
Three or four bee stings, and it's fine. But three or four beer stings.
Beer? Did you say beer, young lady?
Don't ask me why that came out of my mouth. Bee stings and a good soaking. It's up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I pulled up in the gator. I'd gone to get his chainsaw. And it was drizzling, and then
all of a sudden
he was like,
just...
you may want to go park underneath the tree.
Yeah.
And I got my front tires in the woods, and it just whoosh.
You should have gone the other way to the pine trees. That'd have been a lot drier underneath them than underneath the maple that we
that
were
was,
under.
That was a while away, though. I would have gotten more soaked.
Yeah, you can only get so wet. And once you get soaked, you're soaked, right? There's no degrees after when it's running off your head.
Yep.
There are no more degrees to being wet. You're just wet.
There's no more. There's no way for your shirt to soak up any more water.
That's right.
Being really wet. Did you know?
You're asking me.
Just in general.
Oh.
Did you know that when people say run, it's like if you're coming out of the store or something like that, and it's raining, people say like run to your car
because
it's raining.
Yes.
Did you know you actually get wetter when you run than when you walk?
I don't even want to think about that.
Physics.
Oh yeah, one of your topics.
The physics that I learned in chemistry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty interesting though. Just that's my fact for the day.
Your fact for
Take
the day.
Take it or leave it.
Okay. We'll leave it.
Okay.
I'll leave it. Okay. I don't want to think that hard.
Okay.
Time, distance, and drizzle, huh?
Try time, distance, and velocity of the rain.
Well, that's true. Drizzle or pouring rain. I mean, which way? Okay. Anyway, let's get a calendar of events in here. Brought to you by Visit Anderson and
Greenville Landing and Event Center.
And you wanna what's the date on yours?
September 10th.
Oh, then you need to start.
Do I?
Yeah, you need to start.
Ooh, I have two that are the 10th.
Well, you need, but that one's sooner. You need to do this one first.
Okay.
Okay.
So we've talked to Davey Hyde on the show many, many times, but he is doing this thing with the National Bassmaster, I guess, the champion. The Bassmaster champion. That sounds weird. But he is doing the 4th annual Real Connection campaign. It raises awareness about the importance of fathers spending quality time with their children. All proceeds benefit South Carolina Center for Fathers and Families and its statewide program. And there are two ways to win. You can purchase a $100 raffle ticket to win the grand prize, which is a day on the lake with Davey Height, with one father, one child. Only 250 grand prize tickets are available. Then you can do the second raffle, which is a purchase of $50 raffle ticket to win one of two Real Connection prize packages, which are over $500 value each. And it can contain a professional rod, reel, bait, and lure assortment with an American flag hat signed by Davey Height. There are a couple rules that they list here. I'm not going to go over all of them, but there's one that's really important, and it is that all the information must be received by midnight on Tuesday, August 31st, so that, you know, y'all go ahead and enter for that, because that's a really good cause, and it sounds fun. I mean, who wouldn't want to be on a lake for a whole day with Davey Height?
One of these days, we're going to make it happen.
Yeah, we are.
Hopefully up north somewhere, whacking smallmouth.
Oh, don't downgrade Santee. I'm fine with going to Santee.
Yeah, Santee be fine, too. Either place he wants to take us is fine, or we can go meet him either way.
Yep.
The 7th Annual Warriors and Veterans Dove Hunt is taking place, put on by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Charleston District, and the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Who? You, Warriors and Veterans. What? The 7th Annual Warriors and Veterans Dove Hunt. When? Saturday the 11th, September 2021, from 1400 to 1700. So you got to be a warrior. That's like 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Hey, good job with military time, Doug.
Where? The Cooper River Rediversion Project, which is Canal Waterfowl Management Area in St. Stephen, South Carolina. And, you know, they got some COVID updates and stuff like that. Each hunter should bring their own gun and a max of 50 shells. Yeah, we'll cover some of this stuff. Have your South Carolina hunting license, WAMA permit, migratory bird permit, and bring snacks. There's free water on site. So contact Jesse Heflin at jesse.s.heflin@usacearmy.mil. Jeez, what a long one. All right, hang on. We'll be back with more. I kind of got caught a little bit off guard with that one and had to wrap it up really quick for the break. But anyway, you can go to the, I guess, Oh, gosh. You know, I don't know where I get some of this stuff from.
That's an issue.
Well, it's not an issue because it comes through to me. Oh, this is a constant contact thing. So it was an email I got then. Taylor, go ahead. I'm going to find out where people can find more information on this one. You go ahead with your thing.
Also, I really want to know when my – I have a whole show of music when that's coming up because I'm due for it.
Okay.
I'm a little
– Go ahead.
With your music. Anyway, South Carolina DNR Women's Dove Clinic and Hunt. That sounds like so much fun. I really want to do it. It's September 10th. In St. Matthews, registration starts at 12 p.m. Participants will learn the basics of dove hunting and important topics such as gun safety and marksmanship, game care and preparation, rules and regulations. If y'all are interested, email Mary Anna Mason at masonm@dnr.southcarolina.gov for more details.
I can't find where I got this thing from.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
You want me to finish up mine?
Yeah, go to yours. Let me look one more place here.
Hook, Line, and Heroes is brought to you by Bethel Woods Camp. And it is September 12th. It's for the visually impaired veterans. So, like I said, it's at Bethel Woods Camp. This is really hard to read. Your printouts don't look so good. Okay, time, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I can read it from over here.
I can't. It's like blurry. Transportation is available on a limited basis with advance request. Hook, Line, and Heroes, and our sponsor will be providing fishing tackle, lunch, gifts for veterans, and prizes for the biggest fish of the day and most caught. RSVP to Cindy at 540-797-7086 or email her at cindy@hookLineAndHeroes.org. No later than September 1st. So
I found it.
Oh, good job.
You go to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Charleston. If you Google U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Charleston, South Carolina, it pulls up their website. It is, they have a scroller, and it is the first one.
A scroller?
Yeah, a scroller.
Scroller.
You know, where it scrolls through pictures and issues. And stuff. It's the first one. So that's where you can go to find out more information on that one. Now, what to do the rest of the stuff?
Oh, my goodness. You are very disorganized
today. It's been a while. Okay, Iron Man Outdoors, and we need to get Tony Towns. I talked to him. He really didn't want to do it, but he told me he would fix me up with the person that would do it. Iron Man Outdoors, for those of you who don't know, is like a men's ministry for hunters and all, and you have weekend hunts for deer and pigs and all sorts of turkeys
pigs.
And all. And it's all over them. They got property all over. They got Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina. I mean, they go all over. And it costs you something. It's not free, but it's a men's ministry called Iron Man Outdoors. And it's I need to make sure that happens. We got to do some planning.
Yeah, we do.
We have got to do some planning. We have gotten through this year. This has been a rough year. It's been last year was a breeze compared to this one.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason or another, 2021's been a lot harder than 2020 was. But anyway, it's too much, so much going on. Anyway, they're having a raffle. Deadline is September 4th. And it's two Springfield rifles.
Ooh.
A Saint 5.56 and a Hellcat 9mm. Only 250 tickets sold. Tickets are $50 each or 3 for 100. And it's a $1,600 winner take all. So, that's cool. And you can go to Iron Man Outdoors and find out more information on that one. Is that it for the calendar?
Yeah, I think it is. Ooh, we made it through that one.
Yeah. Do we want to, dove season is right around the corner. Do we just want to kind of slide into dove season since it's coming?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have the season date? You don't have season dates, do you?
No, I have e-regulation stuff.
Oh, you have, well, that's pretty much the same thing.
It doesn't have the dates, though.
I've got dates right here. Okay. Well, I take that back. What is going on with this thing
I'm
today?
I'm more prepared than you are today.
Well, I don't really like the e-reg things.
Uh-huh.
I like
excuses.
Better when it goes to...
Excuses.
I don't want to hear it. You're the last person to talk about
excuses. Hey, now.
Okay, here we go. The dove season in South Carolina, September 5th through September 7th. That is, that is not right. That's 2020. Why haven't they updated that?
I don't know.
This is a disaster, y'all.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, what have you got? What do your E-regs say?
Okay, you do some digging.
Woefully unprepared today.
You do some digging. a page of printed out E-regulations that I have is definitely screenshot because it's not 452 and you really needed to plug up your phone when you took the screenshot, Dad. Your battery was going low. Anywho, no species other than mourning doves and Eurasian collared doves may be hunted during scheduled dove hunts. Whenever you go to a field, public or private, pick up your shells, take a bag with you, pick them up. I mean, public more so than private. If it's your land, do what you want.
Still
but
need
it's
to take
still,
care of it.
But it's still, still recommended. Yeah. But especially if you go to public lands, be respectful of the field owners. Do them a favor, because when they go back in there in the next season, they don't want to be finding pieces of plastic and shells and everything left over from you. So just pick up your spot when you leave the field. Don't forget to get a migratory bird permit from your licensed vendor. It's required, but it's free. So don't stress about that. Bag limit, mourning doves, 15 doves per day. No limit on your Eurasian collared doves. All hunters, please note that the following special regulations. Okay. Apply to all wildlife management area dove fields. Hunters are limited to 50 shells per hunt. Dove hunting on all public fields is afternoon only. No entry onto the field before noon. No shoot after 6 p.m. during the first segment of the season, September 7th through October 12th. And if you're the shooter and you go to public field, it's your responsibility to make sure that field is legal to hunt. So go back. If you don't know some of the regulations, there was an article, I don't know where it went, but there's a list of regulations of how a field should be planted.
It's right over there.
And you want to read it off, or you're trying to find your thing?
It's escaping.
If y'all, was it on DNR?
Well, see, it's separate. They always come out with migratory regulations after they push it because they do the migratory stuff inside the federal guidelines or dates and all, and it's just not pulling up. I am floored that I can't find this on the DNR website, because normally it's a website that's pretty easy. But anyway, big thing about doves. Okay, we have to come back to the splits and all that. I can't find them. I'm blown away. I thought I had all this stuff ready. Woefully unprepared today, folks. Sorry about that. Dove field etiquette.
Yes.
It is okay. And it is, you will probably make friends, even though you don't know people, to call out birds for other people.
Yep.
And when you're on a field and you're looking across a field and you see birds coming into the field from the other side, hey, birds coming in the field. And say it loud enough people can hear you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people kind of look around like, But, on a dove field, it's okay. It is perfectly okay to yell on a dove field.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's just bird.
That's
people
right.
People start looking around.
That's right. Birds, give people a heads up that, hey, birds are on the field.
But if you happen to yell in a certain direction of a person where you can see them and they have no reaction, they're probably like my brother-in-law and wear earplugs, which I had no clue about until last season. Yeah. There was a dove coming in from the left side of the field, and I was like, bird, Daniel, bird. And he just, I could see him, he had his gun up on his shoulder, and he was just like, looking around, I was like, Dale Bird.
It could happen. But yeah, talking on a dove field is kind of a community thing. It's really neat. I mean, you can scare birds off yelling too loud. But you might make a friend.
Yep.
So the other rule is, yes.
Go ahead.
What were you gonna say?
That's not related to rules. So
oh, well then
ahead.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
The other thing is, if you can't see the bird above the tree line, wherever you're looking at a tree line, you do not shoot at that bird.
No.
That is a low bird. That is an accident waiting to happen. Those birds are down below the tree line. When you shoot, that means your trajectory is aimed almost directly at people across the field from you. And that's another one to yell out about. Low bird. You know, just let everybody know there's a low bird coming through. You know, chances are somebody might get a shot at it as it gets up to get out of the field or whatever. But, yeah, you do not shoot at a bird that you can't see above the tree line. Mm-hmm. And I did find it. So,
oh, good.
Okay, mourning dove season, September 4th through October the 2nd. And remember, so the 4th, it's the first 3 days. So the 4th through Monday, I think, is going to be noon to 6 or noon to dusk. Remember that, those first few days are start times at noon. That's the first split. The second split, November 13th and November 27th, and then December 17th through January 31st. What's interesting is you know, you can spread wheat, oats, and some other stuff, but it's only, I think, October 1st through November the 1st.
I thought it was...
It's according to Clemson. No, I'm sorry. October 1st to November 30th.
I'm proud of myself. I knew it was the end of November.
There you go. So anyway, but yeah, that's the only we used to get topsoe wheat for dove season, but in opening day. I mean, many a year that I had plowed strips with topsoed wheat on top when it was perfectly legal.
Right.
But now that's not legal until October the 1st. So you can coincide it with your deer plant and fall food plots for deer.
Yeah.
Which is why it's in here, because they are saying it is the bona fide agricultural practice for winter wheat. And small grains is what they pull it in. It's wheat, oat, barley, rye, and triticale are what it falls under. So, and it's, you know, agriculture, erosion control, cover crop, soil improvement, you know, wildlife planting. It's some of the stuff they fall under. So, yeah, but yeah, can't wait for noon. Well, actually, we probably won't hit the field a little bit later.
If you're even going to be
hot.
Here.
Yeah, fine. I'll be here.
I will. Okay.
Yep. All right. Anyway, y'all hang on. We got some more stuff to get to after the break. So more Woods and Water South Carolina on the way. Okay, there's a few things more that I need to cover with dove hunting. Now that I've got my wits about me. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Embarrassing.
I'm embarrassed to be
hosting
this with you.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, so morning, yeah, I was right. September 4th through the 6th, it's 12 noon until sunset, half an hour before sunrise and sunset until sunset for the rest of the season. We also have coming in... September the 1st through September 30th is early season Canadian goose. And marsh hens and rails, common moor hens, and purple gallinules comes in September 8th through September 12th. Those are the early season for those. Now, early teal season, September 10th through the 25th. So, let's see. Early teal is sunrise until sunset. Ducks, geese, all the others are half an hour before sunset. Sunrise until sunset. Your limits. Doves are 15 a day. Early teal, which is blue and green wings, are 6 total. Canadian geese, the early season is 15 total. And then the moorhens, purple gallinules, rails, marsh hens. So the king and clapper rails are 15 total. Sora and Virginia are 25 total. Moorhens, gallinules are 15 total, and snipe, mottled ducks, yeah, all that stuff and all. We'll get into that yet, but we do have special youth dove hunts coming up. Good gracious alive. Pre-registration is no longer required, and I hope I didn't cover this last time around.
I hope you didn't either.
I don't think I did. I hope I didn't. Anyway, if this is a youth, just getting a little more coverage. Okay, so Abbeville County, the Power Partnership Field on September 4th, Botany Bay in Charleston County. I did cover this last time. I did. What I didn't do was WMA Public Dove Fields.
Ah.
That's what I didn't do.
That's a must.
So there are. I mean, every county. I'm just going to name off counties here, and you have a dove field. The best advice I can give you on this is to go out one evening after work on your way home from work, 5, 6-ish. Don't run. Don't go through the field. Just park on the edge of the field, sit there and observe. It's going to give you an idea of, you know, birds already on the field, getting up to move around, or birds coming into the field. And you know, that's how you figure out when. And look, public dove fields are likely crowded places on opening day. Just be nice. Just be nice. You know, if somebody comes, sits down 40 yards away from you, don't yell obscenities at them. Walk over to them and say, hey, look, it's a little close, you know. If there's no other place to go, maybe you can divide up, you know, shooting areas. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You're only allowed 50 shells, so it's not like you're going to be sitting there burning that barrel all afternoon.
Right.
So, anyway, just be nice. Be hospitable. You know, a lot of guys will go through 50 shells before 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you might have 2 hours of prime shooting all to yourself. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, okay, Abbeville County, you got one. Aiken, Anderson, Berkeley, Charleston, Cherokee, Chester, Chesterfield, Clarendon, Colleton, Florence, Georgetown, Greenville, Hampton, Lawrence, Lexington, Marlboro, McCormick, Newberry, Oconee, Orangeburg, Pickens, Saluda, Spartanburg, Sumter, Union, and York. All have public dove fields. Some have multiples. If you go to the Department of Natural Resources web page, go to hunting, look down under doves, and it'll come up with a page, and it's got everything you need to know. The dove hunting and baiting, migratory bird general regulations, special youth hunts, WMA public dove fields, and then the spreadsheet with the migratory bird season dates, bag limits, and all that stuff.
And make sure, I mean, it's going to be opening day. If y'all are hunting public fields, make sure you are fully licensed. You've got what you need. You're abiding by law, because DNR.
Yeah, they check those fields for opening day.
DNR, and even if you're hunting a private land, if they hear those shots,
yep,
they're going to show up and
they'll
just check.
Track
they're
them
not going to be, you know, going there looking for something that you're doing wrong. They're probably just going to go and check your field and make sure everything's good. So just
check
cooperate.
Your licenses. Make sure your gun's plugged with 3 shells.
But just don't be sneaky about anything, because they'll figure it out.
Pretty smart. Okay.
I'm excited, though.
Oh, yeah. I am, too.
Dove season has definitely – it was deer season was on top for a very long time, and that dove season's like right there. Like a very, very close.
So what have you got? What did you bring today?
Absolutely nothing related to dove season. But I think we covered most of what we needed to.
Yes.
I have a bunch of deer season stuff now, which I know – I don't know. For some of y'all, it may be too early for this. It may be too hot to think about this. Too hot thing for me to think about it right now. But there was an article that DNR released about deer harvest in South Carolina, and that they've increased since 2020. Which, when I saw the article, I was like, "What?" Because everybody I talked to that hunt around here said they had a horrible season, but apparently not. But just wait. I mean, when I say horrible season, I'm not talking nobody shot like a buck with a big rack and stuff like that. This is going to change your mind on what you think a good harvest is. So, results of the 2020 Deer Hunter Survey, which, by the way, is why we always tell you to fill out that survey when you get it, because it is so important. That is how we get all of our information on the harvest each year, and that's very valuable to DNR. But they conducted that survey in 2020, and it indicated that statewide harvest of deer increased by 2.4%. Not a big increase, but we're getting there. The harvest was estimated 107,212 bucks and 90,681 does were harvested. The total of that harvest is 197,893 deer statewide, up slightly from the 2019 harvest, which was 193,073. That's according to Charles Ruth, who we have talked to before.
Many times.
Yes, many times.
He crunches a lot of numbers to get this.
Yeah, he does. There's a bunch of numbers in this article, and it overwhelms me.
And that's
fine.
Not the complete deer report.
No, it's not. But between 2002 and 2015, the deer population has trended down, but with the overall harvest reduction, and that's likely because of a couple of factors. Habit Or habitat.
Well, I'm rubbing off on you today.
Yeah, you are. Habitat. And that has a big thing that me and Dad have talked about, especially around here. I mean, neighborhoods are popping up everywhere. Deer are limited to where they can go right now. And there's not...
They come in your yard and eat your flowers at night.
Yeah. They're limited to the spot of food and everything. I mean, things are changing for them. Another factor could be the long-term drought. And 2 decades of a ton of antlerless deer harvest, which is something that we have talked about before. And then we had a bunch of coyotes come through here the past couple of years, and that has had an effect on the fawn survival rate in the spring.
Still having an effect.
Yes, but it has come up, and they're saying that's partly because of the declining of coyote colonization.
Yep.
So we're coming back. But fall of 2020 was the fourth season of the all deer tagging system, which and it was a statewide limit on antler deer.
That's the first time we've ever had a limit in the low country.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like,
we've had it up here, but the low country never had a limit on bugs.
Huh, must be nice. Although the harvest was increased 15% since 2016, this increase is the result of an increase in doe harvest,
which is
25%. Yes.
Yes.
Rather than the increased harvest of the bucks, which is 7%. Top counties for the harvest in 2020 include Anderson, Spartanburg, and Saluda in the Piedmont, Bamberg and Orangeburg in the Coastal Plain. And each of these counties had harvest rates of more than 13 deer per square mile. That's a bunch of deer.
Mm-hmm.
Although the harvest is slower now compared to its peak a couple years ago, we, as South Carolina, are ranked the top among the southeastern states in harvest per unit area.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
A lot of deer.
But so that kind of gives you an idea of where we're at going into this season. Yes, the surveys are very important. When you get one this season, make sure to fill it out. But, you know, again, just kind of be aware of those articles that come out. Just be up to date on your seasons. Kind of know where South Carolina stands with harvest rates and everything. So, but I am pretty relieved to hear about the coyote
mm-hmm. yep.
situation. Because that was a big thing in 2019, 2018, was with those coyotes. So, what you
earlier
got?
Than that, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are asking about striper die-off on Lake Murray. That's, you know, it's a temperature oxygen squeeze, and we had a seminar down in Anderson a couple of years ago about this very thing, how the oxygen in the big lakes gets compressed into a zone, and this typically has a fish kill, occurs during the latter part of the summer, and varies in magnitude from year to year. Each summer, Lake Murray becomes stratified into several water layers that have cooler temperatures. You go deeper in various levels of dissolved oxygen, which fish need to survive. It happens on Lake Hartwell, too. And as summer progresses, temperatures in the upper layer exceed those preferred by striped bass, and some fish become confused to the deeper and cooler waters of the bottom layer. As the oxygen levels in the deepest layer are depleted through natural processes, the fish become stressed due to lack of sufficient oxygen, and they die off. So the fish are okay to eat and everything, and it happens every year. They'll stock more next year, so just be aware it's a natural occurrence and it's not something to be so concerned about. All right, next segment coming up. This is going to come out of left field here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I might say that the next time. That's fun. Just to kind of give you a heads up, because I probably need to do a little more research. These free movie stations we pick up now, like on the 225s and up, that are Pluto stations and some of those others and whatever else. I caught a movie the other night called Savannah.
Okay.
And it's about a market duck hunter. It's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Jim Cavezzi? Is that who it is? Jim Cavezzi? It's supposedly true about a guy named Ward Allen, and I got two stories here printed out, but I think I'm gonna wait on that one because it was really it's really kind of neat and it embodies Southern culture and all, and I love this sort of stuff. But anyway, we get it. I'll pick that up later on when I have and more. One more thing about dove season.
Yes.
Robert Rourke, Field and Stream, 1959. The dove is the only bird I know that is immune to static ballistics. I mean to say, once you got your swing grooved on duck or quail or grouse or chuckers, the killing gets to be pretty automatic. Maybe the African sand grouse shares some of the dove's ability to loop and dart and sweep, to fly fast or lazy, and to change his pace like a good pitcher. But I doubt if it compares with the dove in versatility of erratic action. When you go dove hunting, you expect to miss.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, that's enough for dove season. Back a while, and this has been July the 12th. It's right after we went up there and went whitewater rafting. They found a historic canoe in the Chattooga River. The archaeologists at the University of South Carolina say the boat could be 200 to 250 years old.
Gosh.
Discovered that it could shed light on life in the late 1700s. You know, the Chattooga is the line between South Carolina and Georgia up in that area. And they're a little rare. I would say a canoe on the Chattooga River is rare.
Yeah, especially with everybody that goes down the Chattooga.
Well, and how narrow it can be in some areas. And I'm not exactly sure where this was found, but just came out this week. They actually got it out. Took them 6 weeks.
Gosh.
How do you haul a 200-year canoe out of a South Carolina river? It's harder than you think. Lynn Riddle wrote this in a state paper. The worst part of getting an ancient heart pine canoe that's been waterlogged for however many years was the second step, 100 yards up a 40-degree slope.
Oh, gosh.
That's steeper than some ski slopes. That's so steep that if you slip on leaves, you're going to slide all the way down. That's not to say any of the rest of it was easy. But the quote, Buzz Williams, founder and chairman of the Chattooga Conservancy, spent 13 full days over a six-week period recovering the canoe from the wild and scenic river that forms a border between Georgia and South Carolina. They say, let's see. Well, I thought in here they were talking about who made the canoe or what era it was from. But anyway, okay.
So it was in the river, not on the side.
No, it was kind of in the river. The first pictures I saw were kind of river, but they made a sling carry thing for it, and people actually walked it out of the river. I would have been amazed. I thought they might have brought it out by helicopter, but evidently they got it down.
Well,
but
that'd be hard to get it. You think it'd be hard to get it from a helicopter with it being the
trees? They stock trout in the Chattooga by helicopter.
That's true.
Of course, depending on where it is, could have been hard. All right, go ahead. You got another one for us.
I'm going back to deer season.
Go back to deer season.
This is an article that was on our stack that I'd seen a couple weeks back, and I was like, oh, this is a good one for me. And I thought it was pretty interesting. But it's how do you know when a deer is coming? Now, we all know it can be very challenging when those leaves drop.
It's a two-pound squirrel.
And you've got it like a squirrel. Sounds like a friggin' monster.
Yes.
Or Bigfoot or something walking through the woods. And so I know I've been there many times. So I figured, let's do this because this could be cool and some good advice for this coming deer season. Learning when a deer is coming is possibly the most useful skill a hunter can acquire, which is very true. I'm still not there. Dad, are you there? Can you tell?
At times I can. At times I just, your radar goes off and you're like, that's a deer.
And you get so, like, worked up.
And even when you know it's a squirrel. I mean, I may know that's a squirrel.
Like
I know
there's always a possibility.
It's just the way they walk through the leaves. And this usually happens only in October and November when the leaves are down and all.
Right.
You still have to look.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to look.
You have to be sure.
You have to be sure. You cannot, mentally, you cannot rule out the fact that it could be a deer.
Right. Because sometimes, I mean, if you can be fooled by a squirrel, you can be fooled by a deer.
Could be a squirrel moving around and a deer right with him.
Yeah, that's true.
You just never know.
But it says every hunter has been fooled by the squirrel. Yes, every hunter has been. Or looked up to see a ninja deer. I had no clue what they meant by that, but that is a deer that you have no clue it was coming because it was so silent.
Yes.
I've never had one like that before.
Oh, gosh.
I haven't had that one yet.
Those really get your heart going.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
They just appear.
Well, I'm ready to get over the decades that it says to master the skill, because I'm about daggum tired.
Enjoy all of it. Don't rush it.
I'm tired of getting fooled by a squirrel. And then they start barking. I think they're laughing at me or something like, yeah, nuh-huh. the title of this section is The Evil Squirrels. Most times you can tell the difference between a deer and a squirrel by the frequency that they move, which is true when you think about it, but when it's in that situation, it's kind of hard. They sporadically move about and cause a lot of noise when they're chasing other squirrels. Singular squirrels can be more confusing because they hop around and they don't really thrash that much unless they're looking for that acorn they forgot where they buried. But this can make that sound look like a deer, or sound like a deer to the untrained ear. And enough times you can tell that a squirrel sounds lighter on the leaves and that the frequency doesn't quite line up with what you expect a deer to sound like. But again, I don't know. There's got to be a good excuse out there for why we still get them mixed up, but
it's going to happen the rest of your life. Just get used to it.
But as annoying as they are, they actually help us. Now, all of us have heard a squirrel barking, whether that means they're barking at us or they're barking at something else in the woods. Now, if they're barking at us, it gets really hecka annoying. But if there's a squirrel in another section of the woods barking, your adrenaline starts going because you don't know what it's going to be. It can be another squirrel. It could be a bird. It could be
a raccoon,
a coyote. But there's always that possibility that it could be a deer. Birds are very useful in the woods, and I didn't really think about this. But the writer says that he pays more attention to crows because there are normally groups of crows, and you can easily tell when they've been spooked and from what direction. And so he says whenever he sees that, you look in the direction which they've been spooked. It could be a deer, but it could be something like another squirrel. They also make alert calls before actually taking off, so then you have noise to go along with that. Many hunters cite blue jays for whitetail movements. It doesn't say why. But I guess
blue jays make a lot of racket. They love to get aggravated and start whatever that blue jay noise, that screaming they do.
The blue jay noise?
Yeah, it's aggravating.
Mockingbirds irritate me.
No. Blue jays. I hate blue jays.
They're pretty, though.
They are pretty. I mean, I don't hate them. I just, they aggravate me. Like a squirrel that's barking at you. A blue jay, if you move and he sees you, he's going to get right above you and he's just going to start screaming at you. I hate that,
too.
I've
never had that happen before.
Oh, gosh. You haven't hunted enough.
Ouch. Reading other deer. This is a lesson I learned when I was five. We were hunting off the deck in Chester, and this doe comes running out in the middle of the field, and me and my psychopath killer. No, I was younger than that. I was way younger than that. My psychopath killer head, I was like, shoot it, daddy, shoot it. And I said, nope, look at the way she's looking. She keeps looking back behind her. Wait and see what comes out behind her. Sure enough,
another doe comes running out.
Oh, I thought it was the buck after that. So there was another doe
comes running out right behind her.
And she did the same thing. She stopped.
She did the same thing. They stopped. They were like mirror images of each other, both of them looking back. And you were like, shoot, daddy, shoot.
Look, there's two. You can hit at least one. There's two options here. But then after that, this buck comes walking out in the field. And I was like, oh, that's why we waited.
That's why you look at other deer.
Right. And it says, if you have a deer show up and you do not plan on harvesting it, don't just rule it out. Pay attention to the way that their body language is doing. Deer have much better senses than we do. We don't really rely on our senses to hunt, but we use our brains. So we're going to use our brains and look at how the way the deer is reacting. You need to pay attention to where the deer is looking and how its ears are pointed. They can point their ears in a direction that they hear something when they're feeding, especially during the rut. If you look at a doe, when she's alone and her body language is telling you there's something behind her, you keep looking behind her. That'll be an obvious sign of when a buck's coming.
A lot of does have survived because they look behind them and we just know there's a buck back there and sometimes there's not.
Mm-hmm.
They are gone.
It says, if you happen to hear a stick break on the ground, you have a better chance of it being a deer. But it could be a turkey, which has happened to me before, and I got really excited about that, so yeah. I can't really take that one. But it also says does being chased during the rut through the woods can sound like a bulldozer.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I've heard that before, and it kind of gets me excited. But then you have the ninja deer.
Yep.
That sneaks up on you. But you also have to take into account, you know, when the leaves are on the ground and it's rained, that it's not going to be near as loud with movement. So you just have to, you have to really pay attention. That's when sometimes you just need to close your eyes and just focus on hearing, because you can hear so much with just that, focusing on one sense. And it works for me. But
absolutely.
Then if I keep my eyes closed too long, I'll fall asleep.
I didn't know you had learned that.
I'll fall asleep if I keep my eyes closed too long. Especially if it's the morning.
Yeah, you can. Some of you, and it's like people who are blind or deaf will tell you that other senses become more acute. And it's true. You, when you're in the stand, if you eliminate, like you close your eyes and eliminate the distraction of looking around and all,
right,
then sometimes your ears can become more sensitive. And even and cup your hands behind your ears. I mean, you think you hear something coming, try to directionalize that sound.
Yep.
But yeah, you'll never be totally ever to the point of ruling out that squirrel is not a deer. Ever.
So aggravating.
And that's what keeps it so much fun. I keep saying I'm going to go squirrel hunt one year, and
I want to go
out of revenge, but
yeah, you know, revenge
they're
kill.
Just, they're just doing their
little
thing.
You want to kill
Hammy, my buddy.
Gosh, Dad.
I love that movie. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. We had a good time. We got some planning to do. Got some guests to get on. More fun coming.
Yep.
Make time to get out there.
Hit that backwards when you can.
Don't forget the camera. See you back next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. From behind, yes, I'm gone to